Stuck in a dinner rut? We've all been there. Bored with the same takeout options or eaten a bowl of cereal for dinner. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with ready-to-heat, chef-crafted meals delivered straight to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a thriving community of award-winning chefs keep your meal options endlessly delicious. With a team of over 160 culinary innovators creating an ever-expanding lineup of small-batch dishes, Cook Unity serves up more than 400 irresistible meals for every craving. Plus, you can pause, skip, or cancel anytime, making it easy to find a plan that fits your tastes, schedule, and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks. That's 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks at cookunity.com/mealtime50.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you. And this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Well, welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. This is a live special that we're doing in the month of December, celebrating Christmas with you. And Bob and I have just changed our Exploring the Marketplace podcast to Mondays. And so we're here on a Monday doing a live. This is our first time ever. Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Like, I didn't get the memo that it was a Christmas live, so I'm not festive like you are, but I think you're festive enough for both of us.
I don't think you would ever be festive though, would you, if I told you?
It's snowing back there, Sean. It's like, where are you in the Midwest?
No, I'm in Florida and there's no snow at all. It's like 80 degrees out, but it's so nice to have snowing in my office. How was your Thanksgiving? What were you doing?
Well, we had Lauren does her gourmet Thanksgiving for 12 or 15 people. And then but on Wednesday, she does a pie day where she invites all these of her friends over and they make pies and then take them back to their Thanksgiving. So it's a 9-hour day of making pies. And I'm the sous chef, so I get to chop things and do dishes.
How many loads of pie dishes, pie plates and stuff did
you do? Probably six loads in the dishwasher.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
I'm going to shake the money tree and see if I can maybe find, as you suggested, some people to come over and do the dishes during the whole thing.
Exactly. It's funny because when you say shake the money tree, we sent out these, or we're sending out for our partners, these little Christmas bulbs, and they have like a money tree seat inside of them. It's really fun. It reminds me that, hey, we are talking today in just a few minutes about burnout. And Forbes did an incredible study about in 2025 to show that at least 60% of normal workers in America are burned out or facing burnout, and 80% of people under 34 were facing burnout. So this is an epidemic. There's never been statistics like that. It's never been that high before. And I'm sure there's lots of reasons why, but we're going to talk about what God thinks in the midst of that, which is going to be really good. And so those of you who are joining right now, tell us where you're joining from as we go. Bob, I just got back in Thanksgiving. We did an incredible, actually I didn't get back. I stayed home. We hosted our whole family on Treeside here at the house. It was so much fun. And then I went with my two brother-in-laws and my nephew to a Buccaneers game. So I went and saw an NFL game yesterday and they won. Thank God. It was my first Buccaneers game and they won. They did such a good job with six of their defense guys injured. And so they had like half their squad was gone, which is wild. And they still won. So it was a really good game. We had a really good time all through Thanksgiving. And I'm so glad. Tell us what you did for Thanksgiving. We want to hear from you guys and what you're doing for Christmas. So Bob.
Yes, you know, Sean.
Let's talk about this because you've mentored a lot of people in your lifetime. I mean, I'm sure many of them face burnout. I'm sure. Have you ever faced burnout yourself in a real way?
Once.
Was it career driven?
Yeah. And it was, a long time ago. And I took a 2-week sabbatical.
Just 2 weeks.
Yeah. And Lauren sent me off to Arizona with my bicycle so I could reset and exercise to like a health spa. And I ate bad food and rode my bike and came back and said, okay, I can't wait to go back to work. but no, I really have never, you know, felt burnout in a real way. The closest I come is every year, Sean, around in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's so busy on so many fronts that I tend to survive the month. And I'm looking this year not to survive the month. I'm looking to implement what God says about rest and Sabbath and see if I can, crush it this year.
Oh, I love that. Now, for me, I think the last time I had a real burnout, and I've had two in my lifetime. The first time was right when I was in the midst of all kinds of good success, and I was working a career job and doing a ministry job at the same time. It was in my late 20s, and I was just doing too much, and I couldn't see that. And so right when everything was going the best, I was done. I was just so burned out. I was like, I couldn't find joy in it. I had all the opportunities in the world. I couldn't find a place of like, this is great, but I could still serve God in it. I could still do the work. But I just was so half-hearted in it that I had to do a full reset. I took about a year and kind of reshaped my whole life and with some help of some mentors at the time. And so that was my first time. And so I called it my mid-20s crisis. My first part of my midlife crisis or something like that. Because I was like only in my late 20s. But there's a lot of overachievers in their early 20s, late 20s, early 30s. We've had some on our show. Then I had somewhat of a burnout when you came into my life 6 years ago. And some of the best things were happening in our whole life, but we just got hit by all kinds of things that we never could anticipate would happen. And so it's that season of just going, okay, how do we look at this? How do we find like ground to walk on again? And those are really hard times. And so people, the fact that there's so many people in America that can relate to the same thing, it's wild. I'm sure it's all different and varied in how people are relating to it. But I mean, 60%, that's like 6 out of 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah, just before the show, we were talking to our producer, Glenn, and he wondered if the age group are facing burnout because they've been through COVID, they've been through working at home and not really been in the workforce in a way that we've all been in workforce before COVID. Because I think COVID really, really stopped things and changed. Like, I still read the Wall Street Journal and I think, why are people arguing about going back to work in the office? Because before COVID, there was not an option. And now after COVID, there's been an option. And I think there's been a quality of life for some people that has been incredible. But you wonder about work ethic and you wonder about what the country or the world's going to get to after that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think we've so exalted like accomplishing and performing and rising the highest level we can, even in the church, when you pray, when you get prayed for on the altar, they're like, you're going to live your best life. You're going to do the best things for God. Your destiny is to do the biggest things possible. And I think there's been a kind of a false narrative in there sometimes in the gospel message that people give. It's not the gospel of the Bible. It's the gospel of kind of the modern day church, which is do as much as you can for God at the sacrifice of your own personal life to the degree where you don't honor your family, your own health, your own. And we saw that with, especially in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, with pastors. I think 80% of them were overweight. That was just a statistic. So you have pastors, and right now we have an 80% burnout rate amongst pastors. I just read that one too in Pew Research. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing like that doesn't work. That mentality of just do the biggest thing you can for God all the time. That's not the answer for your sense of connection to God. We want to do big things for God, but we want to do it in the context of rest. And Jesus was such a perfect picture of that, right? Because he is so, he lived a huge life, but he didn't look at rest as a luxury. He did it as a lifestyle. It was part of, you pull away the lonely, quiet places. And I've had to read that over and over at different seasons of my life and go, okay, how am I setting the rhythm of my rest from Genesis 1 all the way to Jesus, where the seventh day he rested, all the way to Jesus watching him rest with the disciples when they're freaking out, he's taking a nap. It's like he's so different.
Right, he is different. And We've talked about this many times, Sean. Like, what is the value proposition for having quiet time every day? Because most CEOs, people who are busy, leaders, they're like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
But I, you know, the research says, and I know that you're really good at this, taking time during the day to reset. And I think that's one of the daily, weekly, monthly rhythms that we have to get into. I talk a little bit about it.
Well, I'm looking at some of the notes because when you dive into Forbes data, the study blames everything from return to the office mandates to endless workloads. 43% of folks say they're getting unmanageable tasks, which is the top culprit, which is they just can't manage it. And you see people who aren't given like real breaks in work, and people who do get real breaks, they're almost like, I think it's the same as parents. Like when parents worked all day with toddlers, then a lot of times they stay up extra time, but they're not resting. They're actually just like kind of in defiance for no personal space or personal time. So they stay up extra. So I think for me, what you're asking the question, it's like, I had to set my rhythm differently because like I used to exercise, walk with Tree every morning, and it felt like
stuck in a dinner rut. We've all been there, bored with the same takeout options or eaten a bowl of cereal for dinner. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with ready-to-heat, chef-crafted meals delivered straight to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a thriving community of award-winning chefs keep your meal options endlessly delicious. With a team of over 160 culinary innovators creating an ever-expanding lineup of small-batch dishes, Cook Unity serves up more than 400 irresistible meals for every craving. Plus, you can pause, skip, or cancel anytime, making it easy to find a plan that fits your tastes, schedule, and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks. That's 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks at cookunity.com/mealtime50.
God, that's one more thing to do before I go to the gym. It's like, I need to connect to my wife and da, da, da. And I had to reframe my mindset, and part of it was through therapy, but just of going, I get to hang out with my wife. And it's really fun because she's my favorite person to hang out with. And we pray together and talk to each other and go deep for like, we've set now an hour a morning to just have that connect time between some sort of working out. Like today we did a bike ride, which is so fun for like 4 miles. And then we came home and ate breakfast and started our day. But you have to look at things with a mindset difference of like, what do you get to do? And then like fully thrive. If you get a 15 minute break, are you planning it so it actually is a meaningful break? Or are you just kind of scrolling or doom scrolling your phone where there's no emotional, mental, or spiritual rest in that? So it's like, how do you reset? And then when it comes to your holidays, are you just working really hard with your family all the way through the holidays? Or are you actually planning moments of rest, moments of connection, moments of self, you know, care and those kinds of things? And I think to me, it's the intentionality. And Sri's taught me a lot about that because she's so good at like, let's create a rhythm here. Let's be really intentional and plan a lot. And I didn't like to plan those things. I like the spontaneity of like, let's take 2 hours here and, or let's go this weekend and do this. And I'm like, I can't do that anymore with just so much of a flowing family. It just doesn't work.
No, you know, I come from the construction business and every day, there are breaks. There's built-in breaks on job sites.
Yeah.
There's a morning break. There's a lunch break. There's an afternoon break. And kind of the funny thing is when we at the office go to job sites, it's always funny. Like every time we get, no matter what time it is, somebody's on break. And, but the construction business, I think, recognizes, you know, the need for breaks because it's built into union agreements. It's built into the fabric of the construction business.
But how do people take those breaks? That's the thing. It's like the people, you know, like my brother-in-law works at a kind of a big warehouse type place. And he says most people on his breaks, they go out and they just smoke in the back and that's their break time. Mm-hmm. And you're just stress relieving versus actually like dwelling and rest in the midst of a break. And I think that's a big deal. It's like, we have to actually be intentional as Christians. We actually have a real reset and rest that is really special because we have the presence of God who helps us. When you're not a Christian, you may not have that same space. You can still take some really mindful moments, but it's different when you understand the command of rest that you allow your life to enter into that. And I think as a career-driven person, entrepreneur, like we talked to both of us talking to entrepreneurs all the time, three times in the last 2 weeks, I've talked to entrepreneurs who are like, my life is so hard. It's so weird. Like, how, when will it end? When will the hard part end? It's been years. And I'm like, you're going to have to drive that change because no one's going to drive it for you. You can't make it any smaller. You can't make it any, no one else is going to make it like less than for you. You have to actually drive that. And people hate to hear that, but it's like, if you want something in your life, build it in. And rest is one of those things. It's like a commandment from God to build into your life. And that's, American culture doesn't honor it at all. 0%. Even the union breaks, it's like, it's just a survival until you get back to work. It's not an actual break.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is that in the natural world, it's built in. So I'm seeing it. I'm seeing these breaks built in. And you can't, you know, you can lead a horse to water. Can you make him drink it? The interesting thing is that it is built in. So how can you maximize something that's built in that business? How can you learn from it and say, all right, as believers, I have 10 minutes in between meeting, or, you know, I have a half an hour in between meetings. So I'm going to take 10 minutes and reset with God, or 5 minutes, whatever it is. That's the thing that I like talking about with you, this concept of being with the Lord all day, rather than like, hey, I'm going to have 25 minutes in the morning. That's my quiet time. And then I hope it lasts all day. That if you can build in a quiet time, but then you can at different intervals during the day, always be in communion with the Lord. My prayer is that I'm in communion with the Lord all day. So when the phone call happens, when the Zoom call happens, when the issue happens, I'm already sort of prepared for whatever the issue is, whether it's hard or whether it's something that isn't so hard, is that I've been in communion with the Lord. So I'm not going to fly off the handle. I'm not going to get stressed out. The anxiety is not going to spike. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Yeah. So it's going to spike less because we're still human, you know, it's like, it's most likely not going to spike like it would have if I wasn't in communion with the Lord. There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, for everybody who's joining us right now, we have some more people jump on. Bob and I host a show every week called Exploring the Marketplace, and it's a interview-based show. We do a real talk just like this beforehand, and then we interview somebody. And this live version we're doing today on a Monday for our first time, just because we're announcing that we're doing Monday Exploring the Marketplace episodes instead of Wednesdays where it used to be. We wanted you to be able to start your week out with Sean and Bob, start your week out with us and listen to somebody and get inspired for your week when you hear somebody who's a banker or a lawyer or a venture capitalist or an entrepreneur, and they're sharing where God showed up in their highs and lows, especially in their lows. It changes your outlook on life for the week. It helps you to have that kind of that place of going, okay, God, I am going to plug in. I'm going to do life with you. I'm going to really look at my career through the lens of my faith. And so that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. We're talking today specifically about the fact that Forbes said 64% of people are feeling burnout this year, 2025, towards the end of the year in their career, and 80% under 35. So it's a huge statistic. It's being addressed in multiple ways in the work week. I mean, even some people are even presenting a 4-day work week instead of a 5-day work week, thinking that would help. But some of it is just the fact that people don't know how to balance their extracurricular life. They don't know how to balance their break times. People don't know how to engage rest in a real way because our world is so driven. You know, 80% of high schoolers, Bob, in public schools are stressed out right now. There was just a survey done with the National Board of Education. 80% of high schoolers are stressed out with their workload. So if they start out stressed out with their workload, then they have to go into a career or the college or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it speaks of the place where we don't actually, we work for nothing because we don't work to have those moments of rest and connection and memories and family time and everything else. And so I think it's really important what we're talking about today. And I think your perspective is really good. So let's talk about this. I have some tips here that I wrote down that Bob, you can see them. Not our audience may not be able to see them. And by the way, hello to people from New Zealand. We have on Facebook, we have someone from Mentor in Cleveland, Ohio. And we have South Africa. So we have several different nations who are joining us right now. And thank you guys for those of you who are joining us, because I know it was like last minute and it's on a Monday. Very different than our normal routine of being on other days. And we're enjoying this, but we will be on Monday again. So make sure to follow us on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, anywhere you can find us. But Bob, let's talk about it. Oh, go ahead.
Before you get into your tips, like we've talked a lot about this, but I mean, the scripture in Matthew come to me, all of you who are heavy laden or burdened.
Yes.
That scripture is our secret sauce.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we can talk about practical tips, and I want to, because I'm practical, but at the end of the day, we need to be able to trust the Lord and rest in him. That's our secret sauce. He is our secret sauce for going through this. And now I want to hear the practical tips.
Well, no, and I will say, let's stay on the present side of things, because, you know, I do a sermon every week. We call it Exploring the Prophetic. It's a companion to this podcast. And it's on Sundays, and I usually give some sort of prophetic teaching kind of input about something. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about relationship spheres changing and how God is doing something where he's transitioned a lot of people over this last season. Of course, the world has transitioned in the natural, but a lot of people who are Christians, especially mature Christians, are feeling the pivot or the transition. And so I'm really going to be praying into this word about burnout and just to ask God for what he's saying in it. So this next Sunday, I'm going to really address that. So if you're not signed up for that, you just go to our YouTube channel, or you can explore in the prophetic on our podcast, any podcast server. But I think it's important that we look at these things with spiritual eyes. Again, if you're feeling burned out, that's a spiritual issue. It's not just a natural issue. It's not just a psychological issue. Spiritually, God wants to give you some real basis and theology and how to reground your everyday practical life. So Bob can give you all the tips in the world, but there has to be something from the inside that says, Holy Spirit, lead me into a life of balance. And when we say balance, it's not like work-life balance. Bob, I don't believe in that. But spiritual balance, where you can do life with God all day, even no matter how busy you are. We know CEOs that are in charge of huge corporations who still have the presence of God with them leading them in those situations. It's not like the more important your calling is, the less connected you can be to God. That's actually, it's the opposite when you're walking with God. The more important your calling is, the more you have to be connected to God. And so if you're feeling that disconnect, and that's part of that burnout, it's something to be aware of right now to kind of say, how can I course correct this?
Yeah, that's really good. And I'm thinking, you know, I know one of my favorite authors is maybe the busiest guy on the planet. He wrote Good to Great, Jim Collins. Yeah. But if you read about him, he is like, I think he gets like less than 5 hours of sleep, but the way that he rests is through long exercise and being busy.
Wow.
And it's incredible. You read, after you read what he does every day, you're like, I think I'm going to take a nap. But it's, God must have given him incredible energy. I think one of the things that we need to think about is, what does give you joy? Like for me, I rest and recharge by doing exercise. It's one of the things where I find God. Some people find God by being in their prayer closet. Some people find God by, you know, spending hours reading and praying, and that's great. I can spend time praying in my gym, but all of us, I've heard, like, Cherie loves gardening, right? And she finds God so all of us need to know who we are so that we can begin to adapt and find this area of rest, like, to avoid burnout.
Yeah. When we used to take people out of extreme missions that were missionaries when I was a pastor, and we would kind of recuperate them, so to speak, because they were going to war zones and like places where children were being really abused. We would send them to trauma therapy, Bob, and we'd have them. We had a lady who worked with us locally in Los Angeles, and her name was Dr. Reckberger, and she was an expert on trauma. Now, she was a believer, but kind of a different version of some of the theology that we would believe. But as far as her as a psychiatrist, she was just amazing. And she talked about how rest doesn't mean complacency or inactivity, but rest means like doing something in the side of your brain that doesn't toil. So it's not the part of you that like is the energy is removed from you. It's actually even working where the energy is given to you. And so that would describe Cherie or you, where it's like Cherie's gardening and she's not toiling. When she's gardening, she's enjoying it. And it's actually resting that part of her brain that is toiling, that is like in on mode all the time. Or you working out, it's not toiling. And I just thought that was such a great, she goes, like, we see people, like they would do like these neural scans. They would see people who do something like, if you want a vacation, it doesn't mean go to the beach, to the tropics, and that's going to rest you a lot. As a matter of fact, some people don't rest at all when they go there. It's doing something, maybe like a hobby that's not normal for you, that starts to get a part of you working and a part of you is not in dormancy. And I think that God is beautiful like that, because he's given us the ability to find great comfort and joy in activity. And I think that that's really important. Like some people, I'm a gamer. So like I love video games, and that rests me, even though it's like a lot of quests and work and whatever you do in those, like, you know, social side of that, you know, it's really fun to me too. And so we're just all different in how we're geared, but I love that you brought it up, because I think some people think rest is like a vacation of the mind or heart, and it's not.
Well, it's funny. You hear people say this all the time. I mean, how many of you guys have heard this? I got this great idea when I was in the shower, right?
Yeah.
And I get great ideas when I'm exercising, because I've emptied my mind. I'm doing something. I'm trying to find the Lord, and then He speaks to me through that. And so I think if people would take the time to ask the Lord, like, where's the best place for you to speak to me? Is it a prayer closet? Is it a gym? Is it a garden? Is it, you know, fill in the blank, and then try to go do that. It really, really, I think, starts the process of helping reduce burnout and reduce anxiety. Like you said, we're all human. We're going to get anxious. It's just, do we rage or not?
Exactly. Quick poll real fast in the chat drop right here. Put a fire, say fire if you're feeling post-holiday burnout, if it's creeping up on you right now. We're going to pray for you in just a minute. So if you're feeling it, we're going to pray for you. You might be on YouTube or Facebook, or you might be on anywhere else. I think this might be on Twitter too. It's on Twitter as well. So we're going to be praying for you in just a minute. We also have a giveaway we're doing of the Wired to Hear book that Bob and I wrote together. And this is going to help you hear God in your everyday life, in your career, in your entrepreneurship, which is going to be really good. There's people who are responding to like teachable moments. I'm in transition. God has given me permission to rest. It's not just permission, a commandment to rest. I don't know if you know that. Commandment. It's in the Bible several times, even in Exodus 33, where He commands us to rest. So I love that so much. And again, we have people here from England now, in Texas. We already mentioned South Africa, Ohio. Thank you guys for joining us right now. Before we do the giveaway, before we do the prayer too, let's just give a few tips to unpack the burnout crisis, and some tips on how to do actionable steps, like to rest. And the first one, Bob, is to set sacred no's. Forbes notes that 77% of people get dumped extra work weekly. And if you channel Elijah after his big win on the mountain, he needed a cave to recharge in 1 Kings 19. So you got to audit your calendar and block God time before work time. You have to actually be proactive, because whatever you don't plan will get filled by someone. Someone will take that space and time.
Yeah.
You know, your children in the wrong way, not just a good way. It could be work people. It could be something else, but you got to audit that time.
I think I would like to take the sacred out of the nose and just set no's.
No, like, is a sacred word, right?
I know. I understand. But what I'm getting at is I don't want it to be like throw the God card on a no. We have to put boundaries up. And it's really, really hard to do, because what we found, Sean, is in our lives, there's so many good things. There's too many good things. If we said yes to every good thing, it wouldn't work. And generally, the things that aren't good are easy to say no to. But all of a sudden, you look at your life. And after Lauren had her brain aneurysm, like, I had to reprioritize my life, and I started saying no to so many things. Like,
I was so proud of you. It was so cool.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it had all crept up on me. And I think right now, at the end of the year, is a good time to look and reprioritize and figure out, like, why are we doing what we're doing? And is God calling us to do it in the new year?
Yeah, it's so true. And when you're good at what you do, people ask you to be involved with what they're doing as well. And so if you're in your career, you know, I do production a lot. And so, you know, I was in a training mode for a couple of years, and then I started doing production, and I started to get invited into all kinds of things. And I would say, Bob, half or no more than half, 75% of what I was being invited into was an awesome opportunity that would have wasted my time.
Yes.
Just you got to get on a plane and go somewhere and be there. And you're doing 14-hour days, 12-hour days, even if it's only 6-hour days. I mean, some of the things I would have to drive 2 hours, 3 hours to get to, that are more local, and then you do an hour to 2 hour shoot and then drive 2 or 3 hours back. Even that kind of stuff was just, it didn't make sense for where I'm at, the stage of life I'm in, because I'm not in my 20s. So it didn't make sense. So I think, like, I love what you're saying, because even just the now of like going, what are you saying yes to? We go back to all the time and make your yes. And that yes makes you say no to all kinds of things. So for you, it's like, okay, I'm in a different season with Lauren. and I'm in a different season with one I'm saying yes to. And so I got to, that automatically gives me permission to say no. It's very easy. So I think that that's a good question for those of you who are burning out. It's like, what are you really saying yes to? What do you have to say yes to? And then like, that'll protect your, it'll make you want to say no. It's a motivator to say no.
Yeah. I mean, when you say that, it reminds me of the story when Jesus decided to go to the house to heal the child who died, and there was crowds and crowds and crowds. And when you look at it, he said yes to that miracle, which was beautiful, but there was all the people on the side of the road he essentially said no to, because he had his mission. And and so I think we look at that story and we realize, wow, he healed that child, but then we don't realize that all the people on the side of the road he said no to, because he went to that mission. And he was really good at boundaries. He was really good at setting rest. He was really good at saying yes. And his yes was his yes, and his no was his no.
Yeah, I remember one of my mentors said years ago, he said, "Hey, Sean, do you realize that Jesus let Barnabas die because he was doing something else he felt called to? And then he came back and he had enough space to bring a miracle." So, mm-hmm. Sometimes things look like they're going to die or they're going to be ending if you say no to them, but God can resurrect him. And I just was like, that's such a profound word. Okay. Yeah. The next one, last tip we'll give, we'll just give two tips. The other one is a Sabbath rhythm for pros. One day off isn't enough. So you got to try micro Sabbaths, like a 10-minute prayer walk, you know, after a mid-meeting marathon, or, you know, when you shift your energy from the frantic focus to an actual normal focus. So it could be like a walk. It could be, you know, a special call. Like there's a few times where I'm like in a certain mode where I'm like, I need to rest my brain from that mode. I need to be in a normal mode. So I'll call my mom, or I'll call Sheree, or I'll call my dad, or I'll, you know, and just to be in a different frame of mind where it's just more like normal. It's not like that intensity. And so even just the rest of like connection can be a huge rest, but just one day off isn't enough. And 2 days off on the weekend, like most people only really have one day off. And so if you can do a couple things during the daytime, I love that you do workout. I'm working out too, like 3 days a week. I'm not doing as much as you, but it is a real reset for me to go away. I'm just totally like, I put some sort of teaching on and I'm working out, or sometimes I'll just be completely quiet and just let my, just kind of meditate in that time and just work out. It's awesome. It totally changes my whole week.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about resetting the tyranny of the urgent, which everybody's got some urgent problem that they need. It's the tyranny of the urgent. I have a friend of mine who's my pastor, and one of the things that we do is 2 to 3 days a week we work out together.
I love that.
And sometimes
many times, that's amazing.
Yeah, we've prioritized it. But the funny thing is, he is under a lot of pressure, and all you pastors out there, I love you, and I recognize that you have the hardest job on the earth. Really, pastoring a church is really hard. But he'll call me, and he'll have a list of problems, and I'll say, "Get your butt to the gym, pastor." Except I don't say that; I say something else. And then he gets there, and he'll get on the treadmill, and I'll face him on my stair climber. And I say, "So what's your problem?" And he starts talking. And I'll say, "Hey, turn the level up, turn the level up, turn the level up." Pretty soon he can't talk anymore because he's out of breath. And we'll finish that particular set. And then we'll get off, and I'll say, So now what was your problem, Zach? What was the problem? But what was it going on, Zach? And he's like, "I don't remember." And you know, getting the endorphins going, my point for this funny story about Zach is that it's accountability, right? He and I are together. You and I are together. When things happen, we call each other. We're not doing this on our own. You've said over and over in this live that you turn to Sheree, you go on walks, you talk to her, you do these things. And that's one of the things that we have to recognize in our lives to reduce burnout and anxiety is having other people in our life.
Yeah. And not just working with them too, but actually being companions. And that's mm-hmm. a huge one. That's like some people only surround themselves with friends they work with, and they don't ever do anything but work with them. And that people who are entrepreneurs are like that. People who are driven, and major goals, politicians, pastors, a lot of them are like that, but it's like, we have to have those. Part of the rest is community. That's not for the sake of work. And that's, I love what you're saying, because you and Zach, like, you're demonstrating that. Well, as we come to kind of an end before we pray, Bob, I think it's looking at the coming of the holiday season, I think it's really important for all of us, honestly, to set a plan around our time. Because you said it, between Thanksgiving and Christmas is a hustle. If you have kids, you're going to all their programs, and plus you have all your work stuff, plus your wife plans a pie making day. You know, just kidding. If those of you who were here in the beginning, Bob's wife had a 9-hour pie making day with all of her friends. So there's so many things that we have to do on top of just our normal life, and plus a lot of businesses end the year strong, so they have a lot going on. I'm going to encourage you guys, like, this is a time to really be proactive in your planning, because mm-hmm. it can be one of those special times of your year and not just a fast forwarded season where just everything's a blur. And so we're going to pray for you guys, just for, if you're experiencing burnout, make sure to put it in the comments or email us. If you want to email us at info@bullsministries.com. And Bob, why don't you pray for us, just, and then we'll do a giveaway.
I was just reading Michael's. He wears an Aura ring and he tracks calorie burn for the day.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, but I don't know why he's disappointed in God. Oh, that's why. Because he'd like to experience love with a girl. Okay. Yeah. So we can pray for that.
That's a lot of calories to burn, though. That's amazing.
Like,
that's
not burning the calories. Well, you want me to pray?
I'll pray right after you. You start us out.
Okay. So whatever I mess up, you can fix for me. This is how Sean and I really are. Lord, thank you. Thank you as we come into the Christmas season, to the day, the month of your birth. And Lord, we really do want to celebrate you. We really do want to cast all our cares aside. We really do want to be aware that this season, with all the stuff, is because of you. We really do want to be aware that because of the work you did on the cross, of your shed blood, we have eternal life, Lord, and we're living these beautiful lives that we don't deserve. Your grace is just so much. So we ask, Lord, that in this season, Lord, you give us supernatural ability to see into what you're doing, that we figure out what to say yes to, what to say no to, and that we'd be able to operate in the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes, God.
Lord, thank you for our families and our friends and everything that you've given, and our jobs and everything that you've given us. And we pray, Lord, that we could be incredible vessels moving forward of showing your love to everyone else, that we, to everyone that we come in contact with.
Yeah, God, we don't want to be a statistic. So, Lord, would you just show us how to come out of burnout if we're in it, and how to avoid it if we're not in it? And I pray, I just want you guys, I want to encourage you guys to just do some listening prayer right now as I pray. Lord, show us something, or let us hear your voice about something that we should do in this season to rest. Lord, show us a boundary to put up, or something to say yes to, or something to say no to that's on our calendar or that we're looking at. God, and would you just show us how to rest and how to rest well?
Mm-hmm. And Lord, we ask for Joel right now, who's been looking for a job. And Lord, we pray for him that you would open a job. And I just, as a testimony, Lord, my son lost his job 9 months ago and found new work last week.
Oh, awesome.
And so I pray that testimony into Joel and to Emily, who's in need of a job urgently. We ask, Lord, this holiday season, that you would go before all of us who are looking for employment, Lord.
God, we pray for jobs that only you could bring. Lord, opportunities that only you could bring, God. And those who already have their jobs, I pray that this wouldn't be a season where more work is just dumped on us or dumped into our laps, but that we would have the right rhythm, that you would protect us in our jobs. And Lord, if we own a company or if we own a business, I pray you would help all the entrepreneurs out there, Lord, really manage your time well all this month around the Christmas and New Year season. And we just so appreciate you guys. We so appreciate you guys jumping on. I'm going to encourage you two things. We're going to do a giveaway. If you feel like you want the book Wired to Hear, you're like, I am a candidate for this book. I need to hear God about my career right now. Make sure to tell us so we can know who to give it away to. And Bob will choose two people right now. And then the second thing is Giving Tuesday is tomorrow. And if you guys enjoy our content, if you listen to our podcast, Exploring the Prophetic, Exploring the Marketplace, or the Sean Bowles Show, we want to encourage you guys to go on the journey with us by giving on Giving Tuesday, or even today. You can go to bowlesministries.com and /give, or just bowlesministries.com and click on the give button. And this is a great place to sow. You're going to maximize our media and our output, where we're able to reach more people because of generous donations from people like you every day. And it helps us to present this content in a way that has been reaching literally millions of people this year. It's been wild, Bob, the growth we've had over our media. And so I'm so glad that you guys are with us on the journey. And if you can't give, pray for us. We need your prayers coming into the new year. But Bob, who are we going to give gifts to?
Well, the first one is Teachable Moments. He's looking for a strategy in a season of transition. And Wired to Hear will really, really help you focus on that. And I think Emily, I think this book would be really, really great for you. There's a chapter on instinct and intuition in there for everyone listening that is so, so amazing. And anyway, Sean, I love this book, and I think it's really, really going to help people.
So we need you guys to email, and I think that we put it on here right now, email those two of you that we're giving to. Make sure to email info@bowlesministries.com for the giveaway so they can talk to you about how to ship it to you and which address would be best for you. And you guys, thank you so much for being here. Seriously, thank you for being with us. We know this season is busy of December. Those of you who didn't know, Exploring the Marketplace is now on Monday, so you can start your work week out with Bob and I and our stories that we present to you through our interviews. We have so many incredible stories coming. You don't want to miss them. I mean, Bob, one of my favorite ones we just recorded was with my wife's best friend, Lauren, who's a makeup artist, and some of the stories she tells about her makeup artistry. But we've had a DJ on, we've had a banker. We've had so many different people that are about to come out in the next couple of weeks. So make sure to listen to Exploring the Marketplace over the next few weeks. If you need to catch up to episodes, go to any podcast server and you're going to find them there. Bob, anything as we end, do you want to say a goodbye?
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He promises to direct your paths.
That's it. Thank you so much, Bob. And thank you for everyone who's being here. We'll see you next time. Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlesministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.